Hi, welcome back to Have Roots, Will Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin Stoltari, and I am a genealogist and a passionate traveler. We are exploring the founding mothers of Quebec, otherwise known as les filles du roi, the king's daughters. In each of these episodes, I am looking at a biography of the particular fille du roi, her history, where she comes from, how she arrives, and her descendancies as well. So with that being said, if you like this subject matter, if you like this video, please click on like, do all that subscribing and notifying and all of that is very helpful to me. And if you have any suggestions at all for a future fille du roi episode, please put it in the comments below. I'll put her to the top of the line. Let's get started, shall we? Les Filles du Roi was a program begun in 1663 by the intendant of Quebec at the time, Jean Talon. And I go into great detail about this program and how it brought over, essentially over 700 women. The video is called Les Filles du Roi, the Program 2.0. And I urge you to have a look at it. It gives you kind of like the ins and outs of the program and how the girls were recruited, how they came across, what happened once they got here. All of the above will give you a lot of context about what your ancestor or the person you're studying went through to get here. The fille du roi that we will be studying today is Amboise Dwan. Love that name. She was selected due to a viewer's request, and then I in my files I was able to find that she was also the great-grandmother of my best friend. So I hope you all enjoy the story of Amboise Dwan. Amboise was born in 1641 in the parish of Saint-Sulpice in Paris. She was the daughter of Nicolas Dwan and Perrine Alain. Regular viewers of the channel will note that Saint-Sulpice shows up time and again as a place where les filles du roi emanated from. I myself have many, many great-grandmothers who were from this particular parish. It means that it's on the bucket list of places I need to go and see. Now, the Church of Saint-Sulpice has existed for, you know, centuries, and I think the original dates from prior to the 10th century. This particular church began being built in 1646, so that means 5 years after her birth. So the church that she would have been baptized in obviously is no more. Now, just to give you an idea of the enormity of this church, after the Notre Dame fire of that church, the Easter celebrations were held at this particular, because it was roomy enough to accommodate. It was only slightly smaller than Notre Dame. And now, she was living in the 6th arrondissement, which is a very culturally, diverse and very focused on education, on the beauty, on everything that you could think of when you think of society. And so I often think that the girls that came from this particular area were among the most cultured, the most educated. And perhaps I'm wrong, but I'm starting to get this sensation. Remember, I'm on this journey with you. It's not like I come from a place of, you know, enormous background in this. So as I'm learning about Saint-Sulpice and all these places, I'm like, you know what? I have this feeling these girls were truly Parisian. When you think of Paris, I think that this arrondissement is one of the top ones, and was even back in her day. Sometime after her father's passing, she embarks on her new journey to be a fille du roi. And she embarks on the boat, the Saint-Jean-Baptiste. It arrived in Quebec in June 30th, 1669. She carried with her goods of about 200 pounds. So she was not without means. On that ship were a few filles du roi we have already profiled. Marie Herculin, which is my great-grandmother, and she was the subject of the number one video that we did. Marie Bonheur, number four, Anne Perrault, number eight, Anne Carlet, number 23, Françoise Desportes, 26, and Marie Cognat, number 27. So already we've seen that this ship is, and remember, 1669 is probably the apex of Les Filles du Roi as a program in terms of the number of ladies that were coming across. So now let's have a look at the groom that she selects her. His name was Jacques Magnet, and he was born in 1636 in the parish of Saint-Pierre in the place called Coulommes-les-Royaux, France, which is now known as Coulommes-sur-l'Authise. But I just want to draw your attention to the fact that it was called Les Royaux, which means the royal. The picture that I have on the right side of your screen, on the top right, is the castle at Coulommes, and that is where many of the royals stayed, and that is why it was called that. And in studying this town, it was just amazing. In the medieval period with the Henry and Catherine de Medici and all of these different royal, it wasn't just the kings, but also the court. Anybody who wanted to stay and come and visit at the castle was there as well. The church that he would have been baptized in is called L'Église Saint-Étienne, and it dates from the 12th century. And on the bottom left, and so that's on the bottom, on the top left, I have a picture of the church as it exists today. And then on the bottom left, I also wanted to give you an aerial view of what the place looks like. Very, very village-like, if you will. I think there's about 2,500 inhabitants today. And you can see on the map of France where it is located, very close to the sea, and definitely reached its apex, if you will, in the mid-centuries. And that is where Jacques would come from. His parents were Jean Magnat and Jeanne Turchetel. There, I got it right. Now, he comes to Canada a little bit earlier, and he is confirmed as being in Quebec City by June 3rd, 1664. So that means he would have come probably in the early 1660s, probably 1662, would have been an indentured servant, that sort of thing. So he's there, he's waiting for his one and only. So Ambroise arrives, and she is, July 30th, and they are married by October 14th. So that they were married in Quebec City. This is the copy of their marriage record from the church. Let's have a look at where they settled. So they would have settled in Charlesbourg, which is a borough of Quebec City now. At the time, it was an independent town. They actually settled in the section of Charlesbourg, which is called Bourg Royal, which eventually kind of got all amalgamated. The origins of Charlesbourg began with the concession of the Seigneurie of Notre-Dame-des-Anges in 1626. This seigneurie extended all the way to the Rivière Charles, the Charles River, which is why it's called Charlesbourg. But by 1665, the intendant, Jean Talon, decided, you know what, I want to create some new villages. And the Jesuits who controlled the seigneurie at the time were not too pleased, but so on, this is what we did, what they did. And they created, what was really neat is how they created the concession. All of the land was in a kind of a wheel design. So the church, you can see in the upper left part of your screen, you can see Bourg Royal, Charlesbourg, and I believe Fritz-Sauvigne. They all have a middle, which is the church, and then all the land is kind of in a spiral or spoke-like way, designed that way. So it's kind of a star-shaped format. Very unusual, very few of those land distribution patterns that we would see in Canada. So it's just an interesting thing to look at, and as I'm sure as you walk through it, which is again one of the things I want to do. The church at Charlesbourg obviously was not there when Amboise and Jacques were there, but that is definitely the parish church. What's very, very interesting is this picture that depicts I guess it's kind of like an image of a picture or a painting, shall we say, designed in 1696. Or telling us what it would have looked like in 1696. On the map on the bottom right, I've indicated where Charlesbourg is in relationship to Quebec. It looks really far away, but it's not. It's really in the northern part of Quebec City. And then an aerial view taken, you know, obviously quite a number of years ago, but you can see that spoke-like and star-like land pattern, much easier from the land, so from the air. So I think it's just an interesting, just kind of a, you know, how do they do that? And I think it really speaks to how important the church was, particularly at that period. Eventually, Charlesbourg, you know, became, was at one point had as many inhabitants as Quebec City. Obviously, it did not last that long, but it was, you know, you'll see Charlesbourg a lot of times when you're doing your genealogy. And I think that it is definitely a place that you need to visit if you've got ancestry in Quebec City, because that is kind of where it all started. So let's have a look at the family that Jacques and Amboise created. Marguerite dies, their firstborn, at a few days of age. Their second child and first son, Jacques, dies at about 8 or 9 years of age. Their third child, Anne, marries Pierre Chalifou and has 13 children, 12 of whom reach adulthood. Their fourth child, Germain, marries Marie Derry and has 13 children, 10 of whom reach adulthood. Their fifth child, Marie-Madeleine, marries Jean-Baptiste Marcoux and has 12 children, 11 of whom reach adulthood. Their sixth child, Anne, their second daughter named Anne, dies at 8 years of age. Their seventh child, Marie, marries Nicolas Bélanger and has 14 children, 12 of whom reach adulthood. And finally, their last child, Jacques, the second son named Jacques, also dies at birth. Not much is known of Jacques and Amboise's life in Charlesbourg until their final passing. Amboise passes away on February 19th, 1709, at the very respectable age of 65 years of age, and she's buried at the cemetery of Charlesbourg. And Jacques lives on for 4 more years, and then he passes away at the even more impressive age of 76 on December 20th, 1713. This is, you know, they were older when they started, and I think it's remarkable, I think it's remarkable that they had as many children as they had, because she was probably almost 30 when she had her first child, and over 40 when she had her last child. So I think it's remarkable that they got a late start and somehow managed and were extremely productive in terms of creating that family, creating that farm, creating the roots. And so many people can, now that the name of Madeleine is not as well known, but the descendancy, and particularly in the female lines, which is where my best friend, I don't know where the viewer's line comes from, but, and so ultimately, as you're going through the trees and you're seeing this, this line, I think it's fascinating to look at, this family and see how important they were in Charlesbourg, and that they created this life and had so many great grandchildren, and really created a very strong branch for many other family lines to merge into. And so ends another episode number 38. I hope you're enjoying what, really absorbing all of the stories of these amazing women, these truly the founding mothers. They are truly a picture of fortitude, of strength, of perseverance in an age of female, in an age when females did not have power. They exhibited female power in its truest sense, and just amazing, amazing contributions to our history. And with that, I end another video. I look forward to seeing you on video number 39, and we will see you soon. Until then, au revoir.